Hello and welcome to the Tuesday, January 6th, 2015 edition of the Sands and Storm Center's Stormcast. My name is Johannes Ulrich and today I'm recording from Jacksonville, Florida. Google published quite a bit of detail about last month's NTP vulnerability. In particular, they're going into some detail on how to trigger the buffer overflow that can actually be used then to run arbitrary commands on the NTP server. The exploit is actually quite tricky. You first need to brute force the key that's used to encrypt the messages. Even if you didn't set one, there is a random key being created. Now, turns out it's not terribly hard to brute force, but still requires a little bit of effort. The most tricky part here, I think, is you do have to send the packet with the next part that actually then changes the configuration of the NTP server from a source IP of localhost. Now, this does not work in IPv4, but apparently in IPv6, these packets may be accepted. And you can then use these packets to remove some of the restrictions for your actual attack IP, so you only have to send one packet with the spoofed source IP. So it's not a highly likely attack, and some sensible perimeter protection should also help you. Apparently, OS X Mavericks is vulnerable by default. So if you have a Mavericks host exposed to a public internet connection, that may be a potential problem. And that may also be the reason behind Apple actually automatically patching this vulnerability last month. This was the first time that Apple sort of pushed out a patch that didn't require the user to actually install it. And CertCC is warning about new vulnerabilities in UEFI. UEFI is meant to secure the system from insecure boot media. If you remember, the system itself has been somewhat controversial because it can sort of lock down a system where you can no longer load, for example, alternative operating systems. At least that's the idea. Now, the vulnerabilities here evolve if a system returns from suspend to RAM, or that's S3 resume. S3 resume means that the system boots up after you suspended it to RAM. The problem here happens to be that there is a script that runs that initializes all the systems as you're waking it up, and this script is also stored in RAM, and this part of RAM is not specifically protected. So a malicious user on the system could use additional code injected in this RAM and then have it executed, in effect bypassing the protections that UEFI provides. There are four different manufacturers that are listed in this bulletin. AMI, Intel, and Phoenix are listed as affected. The fourth one, Dell, is listed as unknown, and some other sources say that Dell is actually not affected. Of course, some Dell computers may actually use one of the other three's UEFI systems. So there may certainly be some Dell systems that are affected by this. Well, how do you protect yourself from this? First of all, don't leave your computer unattended if it is just in hibernate mode. But then again, this could also be used by malware. So if you have malware in your system and then you suspend to RAM, the malware could take over and, for example, then affect the UEFI subsystem and become more persistent. Not really much you can do about that other than not suspend to RAM if you do have that option. It looks like we got more trouble for Bitcoin, another Bitcoin exchange, Bitstamp, which apparently is the third largest by volume, has been compromised and went offline as a result. Now, not clear what happened to the Bitcoins that were stored in there. Apparently, they did keep most of their Bitcoin storage offline. Insofar, they shouldn't have been touched by this compromise. However, the exchange is offline at this point, so people can't actually log in and check if their coins are still there. The breach was originally noted on Sunday. They had lost at this point 19,000 bitcoins, which is about $5 million according to the current exchange rate. At this point, there is no word on the nature of the compromise, whether or not this was just a simple web application vulnerability or something more inherent to their Bitcoin wallets, like weak random number generators, for example, is one issue that we have seen here in the past. And talk about web application vulnerabilities, there is a new GitHub project that collects community scripts for the SAP proxy. So if you like to use SAP as part of penetration tests, take a look at this GitHub repository for any scripts that you may find useful or, well, contribute your own scripts. That's it for today. Thanks again for listening and talk to you again tomorrow. Bye.